Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Let's start with news right off the top. D'Angelo Hall has retired from football. Not a surprise. He's only played about 5 games the last 2 years. We're going to dive deep into D-Hall and what his loss means to the Redskins. And really, it's more of what he did off the field in the last few seasons than what he did on the field. But we also have a really good interview with Adam Kaplan, who was with ESPN forever. Now he's a Sirius XM guy. Pete is here in studio with me. What's up, Pete?
Hey, JP, what's going on?
Not much, dude. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be with you, as always.
Pete and I played a round of golf this weekend and won a tournament. How about that?
Counting stacks. Did we really win, though, or did we just not lose it? Because we played in a foursome, and two of the guys there were pretty good, and you and I think we kind of did our part.
I made the putt on 18.
Yeah, you did make
that counts.
A clutch two-putt to force a playoff.
Oh, and look who is joining us in studio.
Well, well, well.
Redskins legend, Mr. Brian Mitchell. This is going to be fun. And we'll get B. Mitch to talk to us about D. Hall, which is even better. We were just talking about that Pete and I won a golf tournament this weekend. B. Mitch.
Who did y'all play?
People.
Were they any... What people you two beat?
We had
a bunch of JP's friends.
Yeah, a bunch of my moron friends.
So in other words, y'all got some people that you knew you were gonna beat.
No, dude, so it was close. It went to a 19th hole.
You two got together and pulled the LeVar ball over in
Lithuania
tournament.
It was basically the Lithuania tournament.
Yeah, I got it.
The best sight was we played 18.
So who
was
Mello and who was Jello?
I think I'm Jello.
Yeah, JP's definitely Jello. We played 18 and went to a playoff, and we had 6 carts full of just hooligans driving down a fairway, following us like it was the end of an actual tournament. We sank a putt on 18. I was on the first hole, which was the playoff. I cracked open a Coors Light and was spraying it on the green like it was a Ryder Cup final. It was awesome. The atmosphere was electric.
Going to a playoff in that tournament was pretty
cool. And in reality, when you factored in how much we paid to play, we only profited $10. Right. Yeah.
So let me ask this question. What was the winning score?
We
were 4 under to force the playoff.
It was a shamble. Yeah. No, it was 3.
3 under.
We were so in the
club. You,
so,
Pete, and who else?
Me, Pete, Brett,
and Skinny Vinny.
Y'all were 3 under.
It was a shamble. So
I understand that. And y'all were just 3 under.
It'll probably be the only time in my life I'm under par, and I basically had.
It was
to do
fun,
it in
man.
Best ball,
dude. Tournament. I almost won closest to the hole.
Yeah.
I was like 3 inches outside of my buddy
There's
Rad.
No such thing as almost one.
Well,
in golf. You either won it or you didn't.
All right. We've bored the people with our golf tales enough. We're going to talk D-Hall real quick. So I always read the reviews, and a lot of them are long and funny and whatever, but I like all of them. So just my guy, Jack2785, 5 stars. Love listening to it. The thoughts are very informative and interesting. That's all it has to be, folks.
There's no like dog metaphors or anything like that.
My guy Champine53 took a shot. Ready? He calls it, they owe me beers.
and he gave us 4 stars. He says,
What?
He said, it would be 5 stars if JP didn't think we were interested that he is drinking cheer wine and what freaking chair he is sitting in. Still enjoy it very much.
I do agree. The constant, all right, Rich, what chair are you in today? JP, oh, the studio chairs are a little stiff today.
Well, I'm in the studio chair, Pete. And the studio chairs are fine. What do you think of that chair, Brian?
Which chair?
The chair you're sitting in.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Keep talking chairs. We'll keep getting 4 stars, JP.
And then one more from CC4Life03 says, great show with an exclamation point. 5 stars. Is it me or is Pete really the star of the show? Awesome pods when JP and company talk too. How about that, Pete?
And that is Pete, not a burner
Pete
account,
pays
I promise.
His friends.
Yo, that is
not
someone
a burner.
Someone knows Pete.
Pete pays his friends.
All right. D'Angelo Hall retiring. Brian, I started the pod by saying it's not really about what he's done on the field in the last few seasons. It's about more than that. You want to talk your thoughts on D-Hall retiring?
Well, I mean, I expected him to be honest with you. After last year, I expected him to retire. You know, saw him a couple times at the cheerleading competitions, and he basically...
You got to explain that, because that sounds pretty loaded, given
the
current...
Well, no, we both have daughters, and our daughters are on competitive cheering. So, you know, I saw him there, and... You know, you can kind of feel it a little bit. But ultimately, D.R., I think, had a very successful career. As he started off, I'd say he was immature. He was still a very good player. But as he went on, he began to mature. And at the end, he had learned a lot from his earlier career and was helping a lot of young guys out. And guys would talk about how he helped them out, talk to him about different things on the field, how to study and things like that. And you see he turned into a guy who came to the Redskins and was dedicated to this team in his area.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys came in to get paid and were trying to really run out real quick. He established his home here. He stayed here for 10 years.
Yep.
And I think he took care of them and they took care of him.
Well, and I think kind of being from here, between growing up in the Tidewater area and then going to Virginia Tech and playing here for so long, I think, you know, the DMV really resonates with him.
Yeah, So there's this group of players, Cooley, Moss, Portis, and D-Hall, who kind of, for a lot of people in the who are in their 20s, who haven't seen a lot of success, these are the guys who've been with us for a while, and D-Hall is at the center of a lot of really good Skins memories with the strip of Tashard Choice on that Sunday night game in week 1 of 2010, where the Cowboys didn't run out the clock, instead threw a swing pass, and he pranced into the end zone. That's that's like a mural in FedEx Field when you're walking inside the bowels up to the media suite. That's a giant painting. Really cool moment of D-Hall mid-high step.
Carry or a kneel down, and it's going to be the former. And now you got a little sideways pass, and the ball is loose. Choice lost the ball. D'Angelo Hall will strut into the end zone.
Watch D'Angelo Hall. What a half he's had. He knew he had the tackle. He knew he had guys coming. Go for the football.
He had the 4-interception game in Jay Cutler, of course, including the great one-hander where he took it all the way down the sideline, 92 yards for a score. He had the pass breakup last year in Seattle, which was kind of his last big play as a Redskin. I mean, he was not a perfect corner by any stretch. He was not a shutdown corner by any stretch, but
yeah, he was pretty good, dude.
He was a shutdown.
He wasn't
corner.
A guy, but he wasn't a guy. He wasn't a guy where you'd say, okay, D Hall's on that side. That receiver's not doing anything today.
When D Hall first came to the league, he was exactly that guy. You didn't throw. Yeah,
not not with the Redskins.
Is Pete being a millennial here?
No, I don't think
not
with the Redskins.
When he
was
first
good.
Got to the Redskins, when he got on people, they didn't throw to his side a lot. The problem with people that you have to realize, if you don't throw at somebody a lot, you're already saying that you think they're a shutdown corner. You know, and he didn't get thrown at a lot. And when people when they tested him, he picked it off.
2010, he had 6 interceptions and was a Pro Bowler. That's pretty damn good.
I'm saying it
was 2 fumble recoveries.
It's not like Josh Norman now where they don't really go after him. I think they went after D-Hall plenty, and you knew something was going to happen, whether it was going to be an interception,
not early on,
a penalty,
didn't.
A completion. It seemed like events were happening.
So you're saying Josh was a better shutdown corner than D?
I'm saying Josh is more of a traditional shutdown guy where you put him on a guy and you kind of, okay, we don't worry too much about him. No. D-Hall, they're still throwing.
2010 stands out.
I don't buy that.
Looking at his Pro Football Focus
2010,
numbers,
he had 4 picks in one game as well.
But, I mean, that I tell you what, and take or leave Pro Football Focus, whatever you want to say, but he only graded as a positive grade twice in 14 seasons.
Yeah.
Took chances.
That's my point, is that when the ball went there, something was happening. It wasn't just going to be an overthrow.
That noise you hear is B. Mitch getting his icebreakers out while we sit here in the podcast studio.
Well, see,
I want you to, you were about to say, so Josh Norman versus D. Hall. Who's your guy?
I think D. Hall was a more dynamic corner. to be totally honest with you. And see, you say he only had 6 interceptions. How many has Josh had?
That's
he had none last year.
This is not my point.
But I'm asking a question. But I'm saying you're knocking a guy that had an interception and a guy that they didn't throw to him a lot as well. You did. You say he wouldn't shut down corner like Josh Norman. That's knocking him.
A shutdown corner is like a guy like Nnamdi Asamoah on the Raiders, where he would just took away a side of the field. D-Hall didn't take away a side of the field. Events happened. Every time they threw it to him, something big was going to happen. But D-Hall is a risk or reward guy. He was intercepting the ball plenty, but he was also getting burnt. He was having flags. He was getting into it with T.O. and all these receivers.
But who doesn't get into it? I mean, I don't understand. What? Not only are the players getting soft, fans like you getting soft. He was getting into it with other players on the other team. He's not supposed to like nobody on the other damn team, Pete.
I love B-Man.
You're supposed
so much.
To get in people's ass when you're playing against them. That's the way you play.
I'm going to isolate that audio and just play it randomly on
the
podcast.
You can play it all you want. But I'm saying, it's like, I like you, but if I play in any competition, any competitive sports
yes.
with you, I am coming at you with all my might to scare the hell out of you.
You scare the hell out
like,
of me plenty.
Like when I beat you in Papa Shot at the Super Bowl?
In what?
Papa Shot. I smoked
Man,
you.
Whatever. I was drinking beer. I wasn't wearing my
shirt. I smoked you.
I'm sure JP was totally sober
It was 3-2.
That's a defensive struggle in Papa Shot. Good Lord.
That is not accurate at all.
Papa Shot. That's not really a sport. Yeah. I wasn't really playing against him.
Yeah.
B, you had a cool nugget that I wanted you to share. You talked to Randy Jordan, Redskins running backs coach, about Darius Geist, the rookie. We were all just out at rookie camp. You guys heard us from rookie camp. Brian, tell us what Randy said.
Well, Randy was talking about, he said, man, you know, the guy's he's a little different. Basically, like, you know, people talk about how the guy is like, he reminds me of myself in practice, where I was always happy and I had a different beat than everybody else. He's that guy. And Randy said he was kind of confused by him at first. And he said, but when he was in front of the meeting talking about, you know, we have this block, this blocking scheme, we're going to leave the cornerback for you. You got to run over him. And he said the other players are looking like they're confused. And Geist just looked at him and gave him a wink. Like, hey, that's what I want. You know, and Randy said, I just realized this kid marched to a different beat. You know, he said he loves this game of football, but he marched to a different beat. And I think a lot of people have read him wrong, because whenever you see him, he's hype.
Yep.
He's hype. You know, you begin to go through his life, and the kid, father was murdered.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot. And right. He had a family that basically took up from him. He found a sport that he was able to be the man in. And I think when you hear him, you heard his mom talk on the little, they had the special on, you know.
Yep.
This guy is thinking like, this can be something for me to get my people in the right place. I think he just has fun with it. You know, when I was playing in my 10th, 11th year, I had Corey Simon, who was a rookie, say, man, why you always laughing and joking out here? I said, it's a damn game. He said, well, no, it's a business. I said, the business is in the offseason, fool. You know, when the season starts, you should have done everything you needed to do to where you have fun out here. I said, the problem with too many, y'all take this too serious, okay? And I told him straight out, I said, look at you. You know, you'd call yourself big. I said, you're fat. You're not big. You're fat. Okay, if you were big, I pointed out Big Trey Thomas, John Runyon, that's big. They were chiseled. He was a little fat, chubby dude. And I told him, I've been playing this my 11th year, your first year. Let's see how long you play. Too many guys take it too serious. You got to have fun with this thing. And he does, like most guys do when they get on Sunday.
He certainly seems to have fun.
The Redskins photographers take a bunch of pictures, and they put them up on Twitter every day after practice.
Hell,
it's hard to find a photo of Darius Geist where he's not smiling or pointing or having fun
with the fans. Yeah. And hell, fans like the interaction.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys are going to be asking him, man, how you keep getting invited to places?
Right.
Because people like that infectious type attitude, the way he presents. But there are other guys who come in here and they don't want to be bothered with the fans.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, when their career's over, they realize nobody want to be bothered with them.
Right.
I think Darius Geist comes in and play like we expect him to play, anywhere close to it. And if he's the way like he is now, even in his 10th, 11th year, he finished up. He could do whatever the hell he wanted in this town.
Yeah. Like Rich Chandler with 2 IPAs, Darius Geist looks fun to be around at all times.
On that note, we're going to go to our interview with Adam Kaplan.
You're supposed to get in people's ass.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are very pleased to have our friend Adam Kaplan on the show. You know Adam from really covering the entire NFL for a long time. You can hear him now on SiriusXM. Cap, how are you, man?
Guys, good to talk to you today. It's been certainly an interesting offseason for the Redskins.
It certainly has. And you know what? We'll start right there. The biggest move, obviously, was Alex Smith for Kirk Cousins. Do you have a – I feel like most people don't have a strong opinion kind of one player versus the other, but I'm curious your take.
Well, it's really interesting. So I was at the Super Bowl when this trade went down, which, you know, it's interesting because we.
Yeah, I think I saw you on Radio Row kind of the Wednesday morning after Tuesday night, right?
And I was shocked that I don't remember. This will be like year 19 for me covering the NFL. I've never heard of a trade going down at the Super Bowl, but they're just different quarterbacks. Alex is the better athlete, clearly. Kirk's got a little bit of stronger arm. What you'd like is, like, last year, the downfield passing for Smith was terrific, but I think those who have watched the tapes would argue that his arm isn't that strong. It was just a function of schematics and how wide open some of these players were. But Alex is a guy that is highly efficient. He's a good quarterback. He's a winning quarterback. You kind of know what you're going to get, and they should have no trouble winning. And with Alex Smith, it was never really...
Hold on now. Did you just say the Redskins should have no trouble winning? That's something they have a lot of trouble with.
No, not with him. Yeah. I mean, guys, I don't think it's going to be him. And we can get to the roster in a minute. But I think Kansas City, you just saw it. I mean, year after year, they're a very good football team under Andy Reid. They turned it around. Andy wanted him when they acquired him years ago. So this is important for them. And now we fast forward going to the Redskins. I think Alex will be fine. The questions, I think, are certainly on the offensive line, wide receiver, and just overall in their offense. Not the play calling. I think Jay Gruden's a very good play caller. I think personnel-wise, we just have to see how everything fits in.
Well, you talked about the O-line there. For a lot of folks think the Redskins' O-line is a strength. They got two tackles coming off surgery, a question mark at left guard, a sixth-round second-year player at center. Why are you worried about the O-line?
Yeah, so Trent Williams turns 30 in August. Obviously, everyone knows no offensive line suffered through more injury issues than last season than this team. Sean LaValle's back. They just re-signed him. He's an okay guard. You've got Roulier is an okay center. Sheriff is a good player. And Morgan Moses, remember his contract extension last year. So I think it's an okay line. I don't think it's great. But what we need to do is we need to see all five guys start for a significant amount of time. Then we could see if they're a top 10 line or not. We don't know that. So I think there's still some questions there. But the questions are, very obvious in offense. Jordan Reed, I mean, to me, this has got to be it. If he can't stay healthy, relatively healthy this season, I think they have to make a decision that's not too hard. I mean, they'd have to move on with him. I mean, you can't keep paying guys to not stay on the field.
Right.
He's an absolute superstar talent that needs to build his body up, and he's just been so brittle. And then, you know, we knew they were going to do something at running back in the draft, and they did it pretty significantly with Geis. Geis definitely had some off-the-field concerns, personality trait stuff, which some have been well-documented. Some have not gotten out yet of just how all 32 teams felt about him. I spoke to a lot of them. He's got to prove himself as a primary first and second down back. Thompson is the changeup. I don't know where Perine fits in. If Geis does everything he's supposed to do off the field, just does his job, their run game will have a significant increase between just Geis in first and second, Thompson as a changeup, third down back, where he was phenomenal last season. I think if the offensive line holds up physically, and again, it's a lot of ifs, if Doxson finally shows what they thought they were getting in 2016, and Paul Richardson becomes a deep threat that they barely needed since DeSean Jackson left, and Crowder obviously in the slot, this offense has a chance to be dynamic, But there are so many questions here, and I think you can't expect all 10 check marks to be on the positive side. It's just not realistic.
Sure.
Yeah, Adam, you know, the Redskins could improve quite a bit and still have a ways to go to catch up with the Eagles from last year. I know, you know, you're plugged into all 32 teams, but particularly the Eagles. You seem to know a lot about what, you know, where they've added some pieces. You know, do you see them being stronger? Do you sense maybe a Super Bowl hangover coming on? You know, where might Redskins fans have some hope of their team catching up with the Eagles?
Yeah, the one question mark, I would think, if you look at the defensive line, three out of their top four defensive ends are 30 years or older. Michael Bennett turns 33 later this fall.
He be facing a suspension?
Well, I don't know about that.
Too early to say.
I'm not expecting that. I think that thing, I don't think he's going to get suspended for the alleged incident. I don't think it's going to happen. But
gotcha.
Brandon Graham is 30 now, and Chris Long is, you know, older guy that did a great job in sub packages. He's 33, and you just wonder, when you invest in older players like that, can it really work out? And then they've got Derek Barnett, their first-round pick, and talking to the Eagles, they can't wait to get him on the field more. He was a sub player, and he's going to push for a starting job. They have some question marks. Michael Kendricks at linebacker, I think there's some serious questions whether he'll be on the roster come September. Jordan Hicks, their middle linebacker, coming off Achilles surgery, a really one of the better young middle linebackers in the league. But again, he was hurt. The cornerback position was more of a cornerback by committee. But I know talking to the Eagles, they're very excited about Ronald Darby, who they traded for right before the season started. Remember, he broke his ankle. Came back, was never the same. So there's some question marks in their defense. But to me, the biggest question, I don't think it's even close, is the health and the status of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, what is going on? They got a Super Bowl MVP that's going to be the backup? Like, that's going to be a problem, man. I don't care what people say.
Well, I would tell you this. Carson Wentz is their franchise quarterback. When Carson Wentz is healthy, he's their starter. Nick Foles, you have to remember, though, guys, Nick Foles, to end the regular season last year, was really struggling.
We were talking about Nate Sudfeld.
Yep.
Team Sudfeld.
Yep. Nate Sudfeld, who became a phenom inside the Eagles building, does great coaching, and Nate did a great job. But fact of the matter is, Carson Wentz was probably going to win the MVP award. I think you guys saw what the game won against the Redskins last year. When he dialed up his magic. So I think in the end, I think you're looking at a team that, if Carson Wentz could play a majority of the games and looks anywhere close to where he was, they're one of the top teams in the NFC. But I'll be honest with you, right now, I think the Vikings are a little bit better on paper.
Ooh, Kirk.
Who's their quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
The Vikes look great. I think that Rams team looks pretty loaded,
too.
They
do. Yeah, they do. Although they built their team the crazy way. Their offseason was built through trades, which we've never really seen before.
Yeah.
And that was interesting, but to me, the Redskins look like they always do, 8-8, 9-7, and they just have to put it together. It's not a Jay Gruden issue. It's a how are you putting together the roster issue for me, and I think that, to me, is a question mark, and they've got to stay healthy. As we said at the top here, the offensive line was just decimated by injury, something I haven't seen like in years, and if all the pieces sort of stay together, they're going to be a fun team because their offensive firepower is tremendous. But the downside on offense is certainly very big.
We've covered half the NFCs. Can you hit on the Cowboys and Giants real quick, your impression of how they'll do this year?
Yeah, Dallas is a team that they're good. Now they get, barring anything unforeseen, is going to have Ezekiel Elliott back for a full season. We know how badly they did without him. I remember talking to the Cowboys about this. One Cowboys source conceded to me that, yes, it is true. They need, for them to get where they want to get to, they need Ezekiel Elliott to help Dak Prescott out. They need the balance, and Dak works off the running game. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yep.
Their receiver core is just a mismatch. I don't know what we're going to see there. Although I like Michael Gallup, their third-round pick. Let's see how he fits in. Cedric Wilson, the sixth-round pick, who could definitely run. There's some question marks a little bit on depth on their offensive line. I think that those are a little bit. And then, you know, the other thing is for them is pass rush. I mean, where was the pass rush last season? Where are the turnovers? They just don't force a lot of turnovers. They don't have a great pass rush. I think this is another team sort of in the middle here. I don't think the Eagles are a better team any way you shape you look at it. And then with the Giants, they new coaching staff, new front office, a lot of new players, same old quarterback Eli Manning. They did not, surprisingly, guys, draft a future at quarterback, which is good news for my guy Davis Webb, who I loved coming out of the draft last year.
Man, I was on the other side of that coin. What about our guy Kyle Laletta, though?
Yeah, the Richmond Kyle Laletta grew up near me.
Okay, yeah, he's a
fellow
guy.
Downtown Pennsylvania. Before the Senior Bowl, I don't know that he got drafted. He would get drafted. He definitely helped himself.
Right.
He went. I gave him a range of rounds 4 through 6. He went in the 4th. He doesn't project ever to be a starter. So
you think Webb does, though? I remember watching him in Mobile.
Anymore. I mean, it's not even close for size and arm strength. Now,
okay.
You know, with Webb was a third-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick, so there are questions.
Right.
You know what's going to happen now? With Pat Shurmur calling the offense, there's going to be tremendous balance with Saquon Barkley. They don't have the greatest receiver core. Really, it's a two-man receiver core with Odell Beckham, and he wants a new contract, as we know, Sterling Shepard. And then Cody Lattimore is going to have to play a lot. He didn't really do much. He's a
former from the Broncos? Pick.
Yeah, he's going to have to play a lot because they have no depth. So, and by the way, there's still questions of their offensive line. Just look at the right side, which is a major question mark. So to me, and remember, they're changing. Talk about changing again. They're changing the defensive scheme from a 43 to a 34. So when the Redskins fans watch the Giants this season against your Redskins, you're going to see everything different. Olivier Vernon's going to be standing up. They're going to be looking for pass rushers.
Right.
I think that's a team that's in transition, and I think it's going to be probably a long year for them.
To me, and it's May, and we're looking on paper. I think the Skins are the second best team in the division, and I think they'll be in that 8-8, 9-7, fighting for a wild card spot that we've seen them really 3-4 the last years. I think the Giants will win more games than they did last year, but only because they quit on the coach and bottomed out last year. And I don't know what's going on in Dallas. I'm kind of with your assessment, Tandler. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, no, Dallas just, who's going to catch the ball? Jason Witten, I don't know if you mentioned him, Adam, but obviously his absence, just kind of disappearing right in the middle of the draft there, that certainly is not going to help Dak Prescott's confidence when he's drops back on third down.
Right, he doesn't have a security blanket at tight end, so I think that's another issue for Dallas. I just think they're another 8-8, 9-17, somewhere around there, and the Giants probably will not be at 500. I think they'll be below that, and I think it's Philly's division. I picked Philly to be 9-7 last season. They obviously exceed expectations.
Sure,
I think they would tell you. I don't think anyone there would think they were going to the Super Bowl, but it starts at quarterback, and I know the million-dollar question for the Redskins is how much better could Alex Smith be for them than Kirk Cousins was, and we're going to find out, and I look forward to going to training camp because they're two completely different quarterbacks. I think people, if you've watched both quarterbacks, you see it. And I look forward to seeing how Jay Gruden uses him this season.
Yeah, I think Jay's going to love a guy that instinctually looks to move and continue to look downfield. This will be the last one. I know you got to run. When are they going to trade Foles? Are they really going to keep him all year in Philly?
Yeah, I would be stunned. I mean, they made him available, but it was just they really wanted to see what his value was, and they wanted at least a first round pick. No team was going to give a first round pick up for Nick Foles.
Yeah,
Nick Foles. I mean, just to explain to you why I didn't think the Eagles from the start would be able to trade him. The feeling around the league was with coaches and personnel people. I spoke to several of them in the offseason. Most were not big fans of Foles. As a matter of fact, they didn't think. What they saw from the playoffs was simply magnificent, and no one's going to argue against that. The tape showed it. But no one was ever really a big Nick Foles supporter in the league. Remember, he was going to retire after his really bad stint with the Rams. And only one team really had significant interest, although the Vikings had some interest back then. It was really the Chiefs under Andy Reid, of course, who made the call to draft him in 2012. So I think we have to be realistic with Nick Foles. Asking him to start 10 games and play highly efficient football might be a little bit too strong, but I think it's a great story of redemption, and he's a great guy, and I'm happy for him to turn his career around because it didn't look good for him then last season, but coaching matters, folks. And by the way, we should mention, before we get out of here, the Eagles lost two very important members of the coaching staff, Frank Reich, who's now the head coach of the Colts, and John DeFilippo is now the Eagles quarterback coach, is now the OC of the Vikings.
He's going to help Kirk.
Yeah, those are two significant losses to the coaching staff, and we're going to learn a lot about Doug Peterson this season. Although he certainly did a great job, when you don't have some of your top lieutenants, that sometimes is a big challenge.
Sure, I think Flip's going to help Kirk a lot up there. Follow Adam Kaplan, @KaplanNFL on Twitter. Listen to his show on SiriusXM, and there's going to be a lot cool stuff coming from Adam, I'm sure, in the coming months. Thank you very much for joining us, dude. We really appreciate it.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks, Adam.